Okay, so today we begin Masechet Yevamot. Yevamot is not only a new Masechet, it's the beginning of a new Seder. We know there are six Sedarim in Mishnayot, so Yevamot is the first Masechet in Seder Nashim, which deals with, Nashim means women, but there are a lot of Masechet that have to do with issues related to women. So the question is, why is this the... why do we get Nashim before Nezikim? So he quotes here, this is from the Moreh of Daf Yomi, quotes from the Rambam. He says in Parshat Mishpatim, if you look in Parshat Mishpatim, he says the law of women precedes the law of Nezikim. I don't know if he's talking about Amma Yavriya, but that's what the Rambam says. Anyway, there are seven Masechtot in Seder Nashim, and Yevamot, which deals with Yibam and Chalitza. Yibam is when, you know, a person's brother dies and he doesn't have any children, and Chalitza, that's the levirate marriage, and Chalitza went to dissolve it. Then we have, after that, the Ksubis or Ketubot, which is talking about the woman's Ketubah, her rights. Then you have the Darim, which is mostly talking about different oaths and how to be made for them, the Nazir. And then you have Sota, which talks about the woman who's Sota, like the one who's not so faithful. And then you have Gittin, obviously divorces, and Kiddushin. So Masechet Nedarim is the Seder, because a big piece of it relates to Hafarat Nidrei Isha. In other words, a man can annul his wife's vows. So we're talking about, and that's the connection to Seder Nashim. And then Masechet Nazir is in Seder Nashim because of Nedarim. In other words, Nedarim, so Nazir is a type of Neder. And then in addition to which, or the possible another possible reason might be because of Masechet Sota. In other words, Masechet Sota is the woman who's not so faithful, but Chazal teaches Haroes Sota B'Kilkula, when a man sees the woman in her degradation, he has Yiras Moman Ayayin. He should like go to the other way and make the Neder not to have wine. Anyway, so the order of the Masechtot that we have is Yevamot, Ketubot, Nedarim, Nazir, Sota, Gittin, and Kiddushin. But he mentions over here, according to the Rambam and the Meiri, Sota really belongs between Gittin and Kiddushin. But Tosos Yantiv, in the beginning, Sota, yes on this, he says that's... The Seder we have is more mashma from the Gemara. Now, it's interesting to note, he says, that that in the past, the Seder Sechtot that was in the Shas was Yevamot, Ketubot, Gittin, Kiddushim, Nedarim, Nazir, Sota. So there was a different order, and in the first Masor of Daf Yomi, which began in 1923, that's the way they did it, a different order than the way we have it currently printed up. Anyway, say again what? I don't know. Now, he says here also, now the different Hesberim, why Yevamot is the first Masechta in the Seder. So it quotes from the Tosfos Yeshanim. They want to say that it begins with Yevamot, since the mitzvah of Yibam is mentioned first in the Torah in terms of mitzvah species. In other words, if you look in Parshas Vayeshev, so it talks about Yehuda, and he has the son Er and Onan, and then, you know, Tamar, you know, was the wife of Er, and then Onan, the way I remember, comes. So it's a type of Yibum. It's not exactly because Yehuda gets involved, it's not the way we do it, but it's a type of Yibum. So that's one reason why Yibum comes first. It's the first that's mentioned in the Torah. He says, and then he says, in addition to which, Masechet Yevamot talks about all the Hilchot Yisurei Bia. So it makes sense to put it in the beginning of Seder Nashim, and those all the prohibited relationships. In addition to which, Rishonim say, Masechet Yevamot deals with Puranot. In other words, a man dies without any progeny. That's a type of Puranas, like a punishment. So therefore, Rebbe put it near Moed Katan. Moed Katan, it would deal with Avelos. We just had Moed Katan. And now the Rishonim who quote that reason, they hold that Moed Katan is the last Masechta in Seder Moed. In other words, what we did it, the last Masechta was Chagiga, but if you hold up Moed Katan as the last Masechta, then it could segue easily into Yevamot. Okay? Let me just do a few more lines, then we'll be ready for our Masechta. So Yevamot, it deals with Yibam and Chalitza. So Yibam, again, when a man dies, he doesn't have any children. There's a mitzvah on his surviving brother or brothers to do Yibam or to do Chalitza with him, with the wife. And it also deals with Hilchot Mion. Mion is when you have a young girl who's married off by her father, so she has a right to decline the marriage. You know, when she's a youngster, she could still pull out of the deal, Mion. And then there's different things with Edus and Yisuri Ishus. You know, with Mion, you know, I think I made a mistake about Mion. One second, with Mion, I made a mistake. Mion is if she's married on the Drabanan level, not if the father marries her. In other words, if the father's not alive and the brother and the mother marry her off, then she can check out. If the father marries her off, she's married on the Dereisa level. And then the type of Edus and Yisuri Ishus because of relationships. Okay, this we got. Now he mentions here that Yavam, the Lashon Yavam is Lashon of Binyan. He says, like, he's bone at Beit Achiv. He's building up his brother's house. And then the Rishonim say that, in essence, it's chesed. It's tremendous chesed for the Neshama of the Niftar to go and engage in Yibum. And the Ramban writes this Pershon Chumash, Lusod Gadol Misod of the Torah, B'Toldot HaAdam. It's a big sod. Okay. So, all right. Now we're almost there. Now, all right. This we have about the tsaros. Okay, the mesecta has a lot of things in this mesecta. Among other things, is you have mitzvah chalitz in the mesecta. You also have the mitzvah of aguna, like if a woman, you know, the husband dies, and you need to just establish if she's free. All right, that's basically the hakdama for the mesecta. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
What I remember is there was a rashi that says, Abba Shaul said that it was preferable to do chalitza because you're doing it for the right reason. That's what I remember from you.
Right. All right, we'll come to it. We'll come. I think what you're referring to is that, because I'll say initially the mitzvah for Yibum was preferable because people did it for the right kavanah, but now they're not the right kavanah. Now chalitza is more preferable. Okay, we'll come to that in the Mishnah. Okay, what did you
got? Sfaradim still do Yibum, Rabbi.
Wait, let me get Rafi.
Sfaradim do Yibum.
Okay, 1 second. Let me get Rafi. I'll get to you. Okay, Daniel. Yeah, if she, then there's no mitzvah Yibum. If you have any child, there's no mitzvah Yibum. Right.
Father is married.
In other words, he has a choice between Yibam or Chalitza. He could choose to take the second. Yeah, I'm saying a Minotauri could have many wives, so he could do Yibam or he could do Chalitza. Okay, Daniel, yeah, so there are some Sephardic communities that do still do Yibam, but even the Sephardim, I think there are very few that do it that way. But
in Great Neck, there are products of Yumum who are not 20-year-old boys that I've seen.
Okay. I'm not aware of it, but I'm sure you are. Okay. All right. We're ready to begin the mesecta. Okay. Please, I need everybody's attention. Everybody all set? Okay. I tell you what. Odeh, do you want to read the first line of the Mishnah and you'll start us off this mesecta, even though you won't be with us for the scene, but you get a little taste of it. Yeah. Yeah, okay, you're good. Okay, so Odeh just began the Mishnah for us. Okay, let me just explain. So if you look at the first line in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah says there are 15 women that pater their tsaro, their co-wives, and tsaro tsaratim are the co-wives of the co-wives from Chalitza and Yibam at Sofa Olam. So we got to take this line down slowly. Now, it means like this, that every person, there are 21 arayo, 21 prohibited relations for any man in the world. There are 21 people, types of people that are prohibited to him. Of the 21, 6 would be prohibited to his brother. So let's say if Reuben and Shimon are brothers, let's say Reuben, Shimon, and Levi are brothers. So if Reuben is marrying a girl, so Shimon, 6 of them would be prohibited to Reuben and to Shimon. But there are 15 that Reuben could marry and Shimon, the brother, could be prohibited on. All right? So for example, let's say, again, we have three brothers, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Let's say Shimon has a daughter. So Reuven could marry Shimon's daughter. Reuven could marry his niece, right? So Reuven, everybody focusing, these cases get a little complicated very quickly, okay? So Reuven could marry his niece. Now, if Reuven then dies, and then Shimon looks at the widow is his daughter, right? So there's no Yibum in that case, because that's an Erva. In other words, every Yibum case, in a sense, deals with the Erva, because normally I'm not allowed to marry my brother's wife. In other words, if my brother dies and he has children and leaves a widow, I can't marry her. That's an erva. But in this instance, there's a mitzvah to do yibum when he has no children. So again, so we'll have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven marries Shimon's daughter. So then there's no mitzvah of yibum on Shimon, because there's no chalitza either, because that's what it's saying. It's one of the araya. Please, I need everybody's attention. Okay, now let's say Reuven. So the first, let's assume that Shimon's daughter is Rachel. Okay, Reuven and Shimon's daughter is Rachel. Let's say Reuven marries Rachel, and he also marries Leah. Leah is another woman. She's not in any way related. So Reuven has two wives now. Now Reuven dies. Now Shimon looks at the remaining wives. So Rachel's his daughter. He's not going to do evil with her. What about Leah? Leah was a co-wife, a tzara, a tzara. So what about the co-wife? So the Mishnah is teaching us that the tzara, that the erva, which is Rachel, taters her tzara as well. Taters the tzara as well. Okay, so that's the first yisod. All right, let me just stop there. There's more, but I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page. Everybody okay so far? Okay.
Yes, what's but that? Why? Why does she pater the
yeah, because in other words, the heter for the Torah, the mitzvah Torah, is only to marry your brother's wife. That's one erev, and that's towards matir. Any other, we'll see. The Gemara is going to have a limud to teach me that this is the case. You'll see the Gemara will have a limud to teach me that if there's an erva, there is no mitzvah. But the idea is, if there's another erva, there's no mitzvah of Yibam. Okay. Okay, we're going to come to Levi right now. Okay, now let's say there's three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Everybody focused? Okay, I need everybody's attention. Otherwise, you're going to get lost and it's going to be hard to pull you out of it. Okay? So they say there are three brothers, Reuven and Shimon and Levi. Now, Reuven is married to Rachel and Leah. Rachel is Shimon's daughter. Then Reuven dies. Let's say Levi could do Yibam. Vis-a-vis Levi, neither wife is an erva, right? Because Rachel is his niece, like it was Reuven's niece, and Leah is zero. So there's nothing that blocks Levi from doing Yibam, right? So let's say Levi does Yibam with Leah, who's the non-niece, okay? So Levi does Yibam with Leah. Leah is the tzara of the erva. He does Yibam with Leah, the tzara of the erva. And then Levi marries another woman. Let's say he marries Bilha. So Levi is married to Rachel, to Leah, and Bilha. Neither one was an erva. So one was the tzara. Now, one was the tzara. Bilha is the tzara of the tzara, right? In other words, Leah was a tzara to the erva, to the niece. But Bilha is a tzara to the tzara. And then let's say then Levi dies without any children. Am I going too quickly here? I'll go over in a second. Okay, then Levi dies without any children. Now at this point in time, Shimon, who's the surviving brother, looks at Levi's wives. Neither one of those wives are his daughter. One was a co-wife with his daughter, that was Leah, and one is the co-wife of the co-wife, the tzara of the tzara. So even the tzara of the tzara, which is Bilha, is prohibited on Shimon. Okay? Duraisa, right, Duraisa. Now, okay, so again, let's go slowly with this, all right? So there are 15 arayot that block off Yibum. 15 arayot. The first is your daughter. The person can't marry his daughter. And then the daughter, the tzara of the daughter is prohibited. And the tzara of the tzara's daughter is prohibited. And then if there was another brother, let's say Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, let's say Yehuda did Yibum with Bilha. And then Yehuda had another wife, Zilpah. So she would be the tzara of the tzara of the tzara, and that would also pater from it. Okay? So that's outside, right? No, it goes on and on. You go on item to item. All right? Everybody good so far? All right, now let's go into the Mishnah, and we'll try to take this Mishnah. Right. If you go on item to item. In other words, you can have 100 brothers, and the tzara of the tzara of the tzara of the tzara would always be prohibited. If there would not be an erva issue, you could pick one, right? Okay, now Let's take a look back in the Mishnah. Okay, everybody, look in the Mishnah, everybody. So like Oded was saying, Chamesh Esrei Nashim Potrot Saroteyan Bitzrot Saroteyan Menachalisa. That there are 15 women, which are the Arayot, they potter not only themselves, but they potter their tsarot, their co-wives, and the co-wives are the co-wives, Menachalisa Menayibim. They potter these wives from Chalisa and Yibim. Now here's with the time to say your piece, Fern. The Tana here mentions Chalisa first instead of Yibim. So why is the Tana mention Chalitza first? You think you mentioned Yibam first. So Rav Kaki mentions that the Gemara says, and Fern remembered this from the last Machzor, I assume, that originally the halakha was Yibam was preferable. Yibam was more preferable because people did Yibam for the right reasons. Right reasons are for a mitzvah. I want to keep my brother's house. But then people didn't have the right kavana. Like, you know, they had other ideas of marrying the girl. The woman, so they said chalitza is more preferable. So the Tanu here says they pocket them from chalitza because at this point chalitza is more preferable. Uminayibum ad sofa olam. It means, like as I said, ad infinitum. Okay, so I think we're pretty good with these two lines. Wait, say again. In other words, but the Tanu. Let's go back. So if a person's brother dies, he has a choice between Yibam or Chalitza. He has a choice between Yibam or Chalitza. But I would think the Tana should say no Yibam and no Chalitza, because Yibam is more and more preferable. So it's coming out Chalitza is normally more preferable at this point in time. Okay, now the Elohim, these are the 15 Arayo that block off Yibam, both for themselves, their Tzarot, the Tzarot, the Tzarot, the Elohim. Bito, his daughter. Now, when it says Bito, it's going to come out a little strange. Rashi explains that Bito here means his daughter out of wedlock. Bito me anusato. His daughter, like it could be a rape or whatever, not married, not from a married wife. Ubat Bito, his granddaughter, his daughter's daughter. Ubat Beno, his son's daughter. That's all from out of wedlock. Then, but Ishto, his wife's daughter, that could be his daughter as well. That's his wife, his legal wife. Ubat Bena, you know, her granddaughter. Ubat Bito. Now, let's just see one minute. Okay, now, the Aim Chamoto, Chamoto, his mother-in-law. Okay, so, In other words, his mother-in-law's husband died, and his brother decided to marry the mother-in-law. The Aim Chamoto, the mother of his mother-in-law, the Aim Chamiv, and the mother of his father-in-law. Okay, now, Achoto Me'imo. Now, Achoto Me'imo is his maternal sister. Now, we'll see this inside of Rashi. When we talk about Yibam, Yibam is on my father's side. So if I have a brother by the half blood, but he's on the father's side, then this is the mitzvah of Yibam. If it's a brother, a maternal brother, then he's not no mitzvah of Yibam. All right. So here it says, Acho Tomi Imo. Let's say again, you have Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, and so it could have been so Reuben and Shimon are brothers through their father, but it could have been like different marriages. So Shimon could have a sister from an earlier marriage, and then his brother could marry that sister. Achotome imo, va'achodimo, his mother's sister, va'achodisho, and his wife's sister. Now, let's look at Rashi, two narrow lines above where it gets wide, and I'm an aleph. Achotome imo, it means his maternal sister. Shenisait l'achi be'aviv. So the maternal sister married his paternal brother. Umay, and then the brother died. V'chein achorimo shesachiv me'aviv she'en chiv yibum el ba'achiv v'na'av. And similarly, achorimo, his aunt, his mother's sister, that his brother on the father's side married, because no chiv yibum el ba'achiv v'na'av. The chiv keishvu achim yachdav. On the second wide line of Rashi downstairs on Beis Amin Aleph, that when brothers dwell together, then you have the mitzvah yibum. So the Gemara later on is going to learn that when it says Yeshu Achim. Achim means a brother, a paternal brother, and not a maternal brother. So let's go on later on. Wait one second. Just one second. Yeah, Yud Zayin. So if you look later on in Daf Yud Zayin, Yud Zayin on Beis, if you look, so the Gemara quotes, let me see. So you look around 10 lines down on Yud Zayin Mabay, 17b, the 10th line, says, Rabba Amar, everybody, Yud Zayin Mabay, 17b. Rabba Amar, 10 lines down. Rabba Amar, Achim and Aav, Yalif, Achva, Achva, Bina Yaakov. So Rabba says that it only applies to paternal brothers because we learn Achva, like brother, brother, from Bina Yaakov, the Zer Shava. Malahalan Mina Aav, Velomina Aim, Achkan Mina Aav, Velomina Aim. So just like by the brothers, and if you go down, you slip down another five lines in the Gemara quotes a pasuk, not that one. It says, it's like two lines below. It says, Ki anashim achim anachim, below that, two lines, it says, Shlema sar abadecha b'nei avinu. That the brothers say to Yosef, Shlema sar abadecha achim avinu. In other words, we're 12, we're brothers, but with the same father. So the Gemara learns that when it says, Achim, keishu achim, that means paternal brothers. Let's go back to the Rashi on Beis Amar Aleph. So he says on the first wide line in Rashi downstairs, now, so we said Aim Chamiv, then Achotomi Imo, Bachot Imo, his aunt, his mother's sister, Bachot Ishto. Achot Ishto is his wife's sister.
Sister-in-law.
Right. He says, now, Ba'eshet Achiv Me'imo. And Ba'eshet Achiv Me'imo, it was the wife of his brother on the mother's side. If the brother married that woman, so Eshet Achiv Me'imo. In other words, so if it's Eshet Achiv, in other words, it was his brother's wife, but a brother's wife is a maternal brother's wife. All right, let's take a look at the Rashi. Eshet Achiv Me'imo, Shemei. In other words, that brother died, Unasasi Me'aviv. So this woman, let's say a different case, Rachel was married to his maternal brother, the maternal brother died, and then his paternal brother married her. Shaitan Nafri, that's low. That paternal brother, this woman is not really related to him. Made below Banim, and then he died without sons. The Nafla Yabam Zeligibum Asurlo. So it's prohibited him. But Tishata Eshet Achiv Me'imo, because she was already prohibited. She was married, even though every Yibum involves marrying your brother's wife, but she was the maternal brother's wife. Tchilav Asurlo Lamit. Tchiv Ervadi Shachicha B'Darshinan La B'Perik Bal Yidimto Achicha Beimin Av Beimin Aim. So the prohibition against marrying your brother's wife is whether it's your maternal brother or your paternal brother. And that prohibition survives death. So in other words, my brother's wife, I can never marry. In other words, if my brother had a wife and he dies, had kids, not kids, whatever. I mean, if he didn't have kids, so then there's Yibum. But let's say he had kids. I can't marry my brother's wife. You know, I'll tell you, there's a story that Ramel Schachter, I mean, mentioned many years ago. He said there were two brothers who married two sisters, and each one lost a spouse. So one brother lost his wife, and the other sister lost her husband. So everybody thought they'd make a wonderful shidduch with each other. It's all part of mishpacha. So in Akinami, I could marry my wife's sister if my wife is not alive anymore. In other words, the prohibition against marrying sisters is only during the lifetime of the sister. If the sister's not alive, you can marry the surviving sister. But my brother's wife, that survives death. In other words, that's always forever. So they could. There was no way. So that would have been an Easter riot. So they could. No. In other words. Well, I mean, if there are no kids, then and then if there are no kids, then that's talking about the widow. But the in other words, if there are no kids, then that's the mitzvah yibum, because every mitzvah yibum is marrying your brother's wife. But I'm saying but we don't do yibum today. I mean, some Sephardim do, but most Jewish communities don't do Yibum today. So, but here they're talking about there were kids. Let's say there were kids, and everybody thought it would be a wonderful shidduch, but it's really, really a riot. It's an erva. Okay, so let me go further a little bit. Let's just finish the 15 cases, then we'll take some cases. Okay, so now turn page. We're on Beis Ham and Beis the top line. Everybody with me? The Eishet Achiv Shloya Ba'olamo. Now, Eishet Achiv Shloya Ba'olamo. So Rashi gives us a case. Look at the Rashi, the top line of Rashi in the left-hand column. Let's say Reuven dies, and a brother was born. Let's say you have Reuven and Shimon, and then after Reuven dies, Levi is born. Ushmo Levi. So it means like this. Reuven was married to Rachel. Reuven dies, and Shimon does Yibam with Rachel. Now Shimon is married to Rachel. He says, below Isha Acheret, and then Shimon has another wife as well, who mate below Banim, and now Shimon dies without children. Now Levi, he's left with these two widows. The two widows. One was the widow of his brother, who was not like alive and being when he was alive. In other words, they didn't exist in the world at the same time, because when Levi was born, Reuven was dead already. His brother that was not alive and being. So he says, "Shtei and Peturot, Latisha Esha Reuven Shnisa the Shimon Asur the Levi." In other words, with this woman, there's no mitzvah to do Yibam with your brother that you were not inhabiting the world at the same time. There's no mitzvah of Yibum with that. So Levi never had a mitzvah of Yibum with Rachel. So if he didn't have a mitzvah of Yibum with Rachel, so Rachel is an Isur because Eshirah, even though she ended up marrying brother number two, but that Isur remains with her. So she's an erva to him, notwithstanding the fact that she's a brother's wife. But Anosh Kari Lalel, the Pisha Eshirah, Bukhari, Kshar Rayo Shibaparsha, Tibakulu, Kiposha, Semikulatoi, Bada Ela, Vedikritu. So when there's a mitzvah, so the Torah permits it. The Eishan Achiv Shloya Ba'olamo Shemei Kodem Le'edato Lo Shari Lei. So there's no heter if you didn't warn in the world at the same time as your brother. The Pasuk says, Ki Yeshua Achim Yachdav, these brothers dwelt together. And that's in the parsha with Yibum. He says, Shaita Lehem Yeshiva Achap Olam. Hilkach Mishmei Reuven Ne'esra Levi Yisra Olam. So when Reuven died, his widow remained prohibited to Levi, just like any other, you know, Eishet Ach that had children. And even though now he's facing the case where Shimon, his brother, died, and Shimon was a brother that he did inherit, inhabit the world at the same time. So that first wife, Rachel, is prohibited because of Reuven. So the co-wife is also prohibited. And if he would marry one of them, he'll be chayv karet. Okay, let's top line, and then I'll pause and just one more line. So the wife of his brother that he didn't inhabit, live in the world at the same time. And the Kalato, his daughter-in-law. It means he had a daughter-in-law. Let's say Shimon had a daughter-in-law, and Shimon's son died, and then his brother Reuven married Shimon's daughter-in-law. Hare Elu, so all of those cases, Potro Sarotehan, So we went through this before, but I'm just repeating, okay? So they themselves potter it, but they potter the tzaros also. So if there's a co-wife, there's no yibum with the co-wife, but tzarot tzarotayin. And we gave the case of tzarot tzarotayin. We said, remember the case, let's say, I'm repeating for you, Michael, and just a repetition for everybody. Let's say Reuven, the three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven marries Rachel, that's Shimon's daughter. So Reuven is married to his niece. And then Reuven has another wife, Leah. And then Reuven dies. So Shimon is patur from doing any yibum because one of the wives is his daughter. And he's also patur from Leah because she's the tsar of the erva. Then let's say Levi does yibum with let's say Levi is nothing. So let's say Levi does yibum with Leah, who was the tsara. And then Levi has another wife, Bilhah, who is now the tsara of the tsara. And then Levi dies. So now Shimon is, you know, even if he neither one of these women were like his niece, but they're both patur. One is the tzara, and one is the tzara of the tzara. Anyway, in the potur tzaratayim, tzaratayim, and a chalitzim and a yibam, they patur from chalitzim from yibam, as sofa olam, I mean, ad infinitum, you can add on cases where you could be a fourth brother and have a tzara, a tzara, a tzara, a fifth brother, tzara, 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 tzara. It could keep adding up, but everybody's patur. Okay, what's up, Fern? What do you got?
Two things. Is there any reason why an Amud Aleph Yibum is spelt with one yud and the line we just read Yibum is spelt with two yuds?
I don't know. All right, what's the next question?
The next question goes back to when the two brothers were not lives in each other's being.
Right.
If the reason for Yibum is to do Hakim Shem
Right.
Should that matter? It's still
all right. So, you know, there's always not the reason in the hashkafa. So the reason is the Torah says kishuachim yachtav, that the brothers have to inhabit the world at the same time. I don't know about piyashkafa about, you know, why not, but that's the mitzvah in the Torah. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? Yeah, what's up? Wait, say again, and we'll repeat. There's two cases in the Mishnah. Wait. Line three in the Mishnah. Well, line three is bito bat beno. That's talking about the daughter out of wedlock. Okay. Then bat ishto it could be his both daughters or it could be his wife's daughter. Either case, he's patur from his lawfully wedded wife. Say again, what? That I think that's Bukhra from the Gemara. That's the way. What do you mean? Right, it is part of the thing. Okay. So let's go on. I'm going to move on now. Okay, everybody good? All right. Now, at least you're getting a taste from a Masechet Yevamot. Okay, now. All right. So the. If you look in different Gemaras, okay, line three. Everybody with me? All right, now. The Kulan, Imetu, Omianu, Onit Garshu, Oshnimsu Ilonit, Saroteinu Tarot. Now, in all of these cases, let's say the Erva predeceased the brother. In other words, let's say you have Reuben and Shimon and Levi, and Reuben was married to Shimon's daughter, and Reuben was married also to another woman, Leah. Reuben was married to Rachel, Leah, Rachel being the niece. Let's say Rachel predeceases Reuven, and then Reuven dies, and he leaves a widow, Leah. So then Leah is permissible, even though she had been a tzara of the erva, but she'd been a tzara before there was any yibum came into play. So now she's permissible. Oh, mianu, or if they did mian. I remember I mentioned that's a type of if you have kiddushin on the rabbanon level. So then the girl can pull out with Mion. So how do we have Mion in this case? So let me explain this outside and then we'll do it inside. Mion Babito. So, all right, let's look at the Rashi. The Kula Shemetu. Shemetu Bito Kordom Lachiv. His daughter married, died before his brother. Oh, Miona. Now, let me explain. So you have Reuven and Shimon. Shimon's daughter is married to Reuven. So either Shimon's daughter is Rachel, she predeceases Reuven. or she does miyun. So the question is, normally miyun is where the father is dead. The father's not in the picture. So the Chachamim established that her brothers and her mother could marry her off on a drabanan level, so she shouldn't end up like in a bad situation, you know, promiscuous or things like that. But they only have a koach to marry her on drabanan level, in which case she could pull out through miyun. Right. And Michael said she's under 12, which is correct. Now, but in this case, we have the father's alive. So when the father's alive, normally he marries her off, she's married on a deraisa level, because the father, like we have, the Mishnah says in Kiddushin, havzakai bevita bekiddusha, a father could be married off his daughter, even though she's a katana. So how does this work that I mean? So I'll read the Rashi in a minute. Rashi's going to say that, let's say the father had married her off to husband number one, Zvulun, and Zvulun had divorced her. He could divorce her and give the get to the father, where it's all. And then, or Zvulun died. Anyway, but that marriage was terminated. So once that marriage is terminated, the father's rights are terminated to be Mekadesh her. The father doesn't have any deraisa rights to marry her off. So she's called, in Lashon Chazal, Yitoma B'chayi Ha'av, an orphan during the lifetime of the father. Remember that term, because it comes up in the Masechta. Let's look at the Rashi, and we'll see it. You know, everything takes a long time with this, I see. Okay, let's take a look at the Rashi. So around 10 lines above where it gets wide in Rashi, the Kulin Shemeto, Shemeto Bito, Kodol Na'achiv, his daughter married, died before the brother, Reuven. Oh, Miana, or she declined. In other words, she says, I'm out of here. Behechi Mashkach, La Mian Bito. How could I have a case with Mian Bito, the father's alive? Berehu Kayam, Behin Mian El Biotoma. Mian is only shaykh normally by an orphan, you know, and then, you know, he says, Mashkach, La Don Shabia, he see Allah. So anyway, so it means the orphan married by the mother and the brothers. But Mashkach, La Don Shabihi, see Allah, Lechad. Her father married her off to somebody. In other words, Shimon the father married her off to Zvulun. Then Zvulun divorced her. She katana, when she was looking at Shuv, Ein Lav Yerushupa. Now the father's rights vis-a-vis that offspring are terminated. The Halchavani Seit Lachiv, the Yodak katana. Then she went and she got married to the brother when she was a katana. The Yatsa B'mian, but she could pull out the Mian. In other words, if I had a highlighter, that would be the line, highlight that in your Gemara, in Rashi, Toma B'chayav. Remember that term, because, you know, it comes up, and you have to remember what it means. It means an orphan during the life of her father. B'nitgarsha me'achiv, o miyana b'achiv, so she was divorced from the brother, or she's a miyan, or I'm saying ilonit is, she doesn't develop, you know, normally, you know, I mean, like, you know, like physically. Shemecho mekachtau. So then his mekach is considered a mistaken transaction. So see, back in the Mishnah, we'll explain. So line 3 in the Mishnah, the kulan, with all these women, imetu, if they predeceased the brother, Reuven, o mianu, or they pulled out of the marriage in the way that we just went through in Rashi, o nitgarshu, the way that Reuven divorced them. Or it turned out that they never developed physically, so then the marriage is terminated. The basic idea is that there's an erva, but the marriage with the erva was terminated either through gerushin, through death, or through mekach taus. It was terminated. So if it's terminated, he's not married to the erva anymore at the time of his death. So tsarotei and mutarot. So the tsara is permissible. I could do yibum with the tsara. You can't find this case with his mother-in-law, in other words, where Reuven was married to Shimon's mother-in-law, his mother-in-law's mother, or the mother of his father, Chamiv is his father-in-law. In other words, obviously they can't be an Iloni because they had children in that case, so that's impossible. Oshemianu. Or once they give birth, which they obviously gave birth, so they're not capable of doing miyun. Okay, so that's that piece. All right, everybody good so far? All right, let's keep moving. Okay, so
did we need the Gemara to tell us that those people cannot have, you know, had children already, so they're pulled out of that category, or they're not an island?
It was the Gemara saying we have 15 arayot. So of the 15 arayot, the Tana Mishnah is pointing out that these that the ptur of ilonid or miun can apply to chamotoim chamotoim tamid. All right, now ketzad potrot saroteim. So now the Mishnah says, how do they pater their co-wife? Sarah is the co-wife. If you remember, in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, in the beginning, you have Hannah and Penina. Mm. And it says, V'chi asata tzara tagam kas, right? So Penina is Hannah and Penina were married to Elkanah, and Penina, you know, got kind of aggravated, because I think Chazal say that it was so that Hannah would pray and then have a child, but they're called tsaras. It was called a tsara. It's like a co-wife. He says, so keta potro tsaroteyan, haita bito, o achami kula raito elu, nesuot lachiv. We went through this already. Let's say his daughter, Shimon's daughter, is married to Reuven, or one of the other arayot, below isha acheret, and then Reuven has another wife as well, Leah, who mate, and then Reuven dies, shem shabito ptura, just like the daughter, Rachel is ptura from Yibum, kach tzaratah ptura. So Tulay is also ptura. Halchat tzarat bito, if the tzara, which is Leah in my example, in this example, b'nisit lachiv asheni, he marries a different brother, Levi, below isha acheret, and Levi has another another wife as well. So Levi now is married to to Leah, who had been a tzara with the erva, and he's married to Bilah. He says umeit. And then Levi dies, and now Shimon is facing Yibum. Change Sarat Bito Ptura, just like there's no mitzvah Yibum with with Leah, who had been a co-wife to Shimon's daughter Rachel, Kach Sarat Sarat Ptura. So too, the Tzara of the Tzara is also a Ptura with a Yibilah. Afilu Hinmea, even if it can go through different, you can have a Tzara of a Tzara of a Tzara of a Tzara. If you have a fourth brother, fifth brother, you can come up with similar cases, but each one, another one removed. They're all pturot. So ketzad imetu tzaroten lutarot. We said if they died, the tzaros are permissible. Etabito or chamichloraito elu nesuot la'achiv. Let's say his daughter or one of the other tzar or one of the other arayot was married to his brother Reuven, below isha acheret, and he has another wife as well, Leah. Metabito. Let's say now in this instance, you know, Rachel dies before Reuven. Onet Garsho, Rachel's divorced. V'charkach min achiv, and then Reuven dies. So at the time of Reuven's death, Rachel's not in the equation. Tzara tamuteret. So then the tzara is permissible for Yibum. V'chol ha'yichol l'ma'ein v'lo mi'ana, he says, anyone who is in a position where they could have done mi'un, meaning married on the rabbanon level, but they didn't exercise the right to mi'un, tzara ta choletet v'lo mitgabemet. So the tzara has to do chalitza not yibum. It means like this. In other words, if Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter, but only on a drabbanon level, remember, like Shimon's daughter had been married to someone else, and she got widowed, let's say, and then she marries Reuven. So she's married to Reuven only on a drabbanon level because she could do miyun when she chooses. So Reuven, in essence, is married to an erva, but only on a drabbanon level, to Shimon. So when Reuven dies, Shimon is definitely not doing Yibum with his daughter, but the co-wife, he should do chalitza with her and not Yibum. He'll do chalitza with her and not Yibum. All right, in other words, because it looks like he's having relations with the sister of the erva, but he could do chalitza with her. All right, now, let's take a look. Okay. All right. Anyway, so I'm going to do the Gemara now. Okay. Any questions? Well, what's up? Okay. No. We do do chalitza. We do do chalitza. We don't. Okay. In other words, as Fern was mentioning before, I was mentioning that I mentioned for Rav Kahati, the Gemara says later on that originally people did things l'shem shemayim, so yibum was more preferable. Now people don't do things l'shem shemayim, chalitza is more preferable, but we definitely do chalitza. We have to do chalitza, but it's not so common that it comes up, but it does come up. And there's a special shoe they used for chalitza, and has a lot of straps on it. And all right, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, I'm going to go further in the Gemara. Okay, let's go. I thought this is not going to take so much time, but let's take a look. We're six lines above the bottom on base on base. So the Gemara says, "Mithi kulhu me'achodi shayal finan." So the Gemara says, we learn all of Turim me'achod isha. In other words, we'll see in tomorrow's daf, the Gemara learns that if you're married to one of the Arayot, there's a Ptur in Yibum, but we learn that case from his wife's sister. It says, "Vishalachu talo tikach letzrua leha b'chayel." Don't take a woman with her sister to be tsaris in her lifetime. So the Gemara learns that in tomorrow's daf, we'll see the Limud, that there's no, if you look, you can look on Gimel Amud Beis. So, one second. Okay, 3b, around the eighth line on 3b. Okay, the Tan Rabbanan, Yishalach uta lo tikach litzror legalot erata leh b'chayeha. So don't take a woman and her sister as tzaras, legalot erata, to reveal her nakedness, aleha b'chayeha, in her lifetime. What's aleha? Aleha matam alomar. What does the word aleha come to teach me? Lefish demar, yivama yivo aleha. There's another pasuk, yivama yivo aleha. Her yivama with a mapike. In other words, her yavama will come on to the yivama. Shumayani apilu afat miklo right amur patora kumadaber. So I would think that even if it's an erva, you have a mitzvah yibam. So nemar kan aleha, and nemar lahalan aleha. It says by yibam aleha. And it says over here, aleha with this wife, with the sister. Malahalan b'makom mitzvah. So just like Yibam is only b'makom mitzvah, Avtan b'makom mitzvah. So it means that, in other words, Allah is teaching me that even if it's a makom mitzvah, I can't take a sister, two sisters as wives. V'amar rachman lo tikach, Torah says lo tikach. In other words, so aleha means by Yibam, it's a mitzvah. So let's roar aleha b'chaya, even if it's a mitzvah, the Torah is telling me, don't take your wife's sister as a wife. Okay? So that's the source for all the arayot. So the wife's sister is one of the arayot, and that's the source for all the 15 arayot, that there's no mitzvah yibam. Okay, let's go back to Beis Amud Beis. I got to wrap it up. So the Gemara says, Mechti kulu me'achod isha yafinan, litni achod isha bereshit. So the Gemara says, achod isha is the cornerstone of this sugya, because from there we understand that all the arayot are p'turim from the yibam. So why don't we learn that one first? Why is he teaching me bito first? You should see achod isha first, because that's front and center. So the chitema, maybe you'll say like this: I have an idea why he teaches me bito, and then going forward, tana chumri chumri nakat. The tana is teaching me the arayot in order of severity. So he's teaching me the most severe in terms of punishment arayot, and the less severe. The Reb Shimon he the Amar Sreifa Kamura. If you remember, that's the only people we remember, but there's a Mishnah in the beginning of Arba Mita Beitin in Sanhedrin. So the Tanakhama holds there are four mitot that the Beis Din executes: skila, sreifa, herig, lechanek. Skila means stoning, which we learned is just like throwing the person off the height and then he's dead. And then sreifa is burning, that means like
molten lead down the throat.
Right, that's correct. And then herig is decapitation, and chenek is choking. So those are in the order of the chumra. So skila is most chamor, then strafa, then herig and chenek. Reb Shimon disagrees with the Tanak Kama. He flips each one. Reb Shimon holds, try with me. Okay, Reb Shimon holds, it's not skila strafa, it's strafa skila. Strafa is more chamor than skila, according to the Tanak Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So he says strafa is more chamor, it's not herig but chenek, it's chenek and herig. So chenek is more chamor than herig. It was like the choking with the towels. Like one person takes a towel on one side or the other, and then they choke the person. So we think like this. Why does the Tana begin with Bito? The Tana is going a libid Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds Sreifa is the most chamor execution. So let's see. And as Bern was saying, is that's pouring molten lead down the person's throat. So therefore, to have relations with his daughter, it's going to be Sreifa. So ihafi litni chamoto bereshit. If that's the case, he should teach me the mother-in-law first. The ikar sreifa b'chamoto ktiva. In other words, the Torah says sreifa by the mother-in-law, and then we learn other arayot from the mother-in-law. He says So that would make more. So if, in other words, if the working explanation is Tana's teaching me in order of severity, he wants to strafe first. Okay. So of the one, it comes out, I think the first nine are all strafe. So the first nine, oh, the cornerstone of that would be the mother-in-law, because that's where the Torah really teaches me strafe. But od, Bakar Chamoto, Litni Kalato, then after his mother-in-law and the other strafe cases, he should teach me his daughter-in-law. The Bakar strafe Skila Chamura. Because his daughter-in-law, you have Skila, if that's the case. So that's not the way the Mishnah is arranged. Ella Bito, so scratch that. So Ella Bito, even the Akim Drasha Chavivale. So the Gemara says, in case of the prohibition, now remember, Bito is Bito Me'anu Sato. It's not his daughter in wedlock, his daughter out of wedlock. So the Gemara says, Bito came into Akim Drasha Chavivale. The prohibition against a person having relations with his daughter out of wedlock is not explicit in the Torah. The Torah says, don't have relations with your lawfully wedded, you know, wife's daughter, you know, and grandchildren. But then there's another pasuk that's talking about with your anusa, but it says about the granddaughter. It doesn't say the daughter. So the Gemara learns out the daughter from Xavier Shabbat. And Labito came into Akim Midrash and Chabibale. So the Gemara says, the Tana, since the prohibition of his daughter, he has a whole stickle drasha for that. That's what he likes. You know, he's got a drasha, so he likes, so he wants to teach me the daughter case first. So the top line on Gimel and Aleph. So the Gemara says, Kulunani drasha atu. But all the cases are based on a drasha, because as we said, that they're all learned out for the Peturim for a Rayot from his wife's sister. So every case is a drasha problem. So the Gemara says, Nihilin Yibum Akin Midrasha, you're right. The Ptur of Yibum, we all need a drasha. That we got. Ikar Isurayu Behegik Yibahu. But the fact that it's prohibited, that the Torah says, you know, one all is, you know, don't have relations with A, B, C, D, and D. That's clear. He says, but Bito, but with the person's daughter, I mean, Bito me anusato, Ikar Isura. Midrasha. The Ikar Isur is based on a drasha. There was nowhere in the Torah does it say, you cannot have relation explicitly. You cannot have relations with your daughter out of wedlock, your daughter from an out of wedlock relationship. He says, Da'amarava, line 3 on Gimel Dalv, Amali Rav Yitzchak Bar Abimi. The Rav Yitzchak Bar Abimi said to me, Akya Heina Heina, Akya Zima Zima. So there's Psukim. All right, he's got Psukim here a little more clearly. One second. One second, I got it. Okay, so one pasuk says, "Yervadi shavital lo tigale ibapanavi babital lo tigak lagalod erbato sharayhena zimahi." This is an achrimot. Yervad ishavita is ishavita means like your lawfully wedded wife and her daughter don't have relations, and babanav babital also don't have relations with them. Sharayhena, they're like close relatives. Zimahi, it's a depraved plot, but of course it's sharayhena. The word hena is important. Then there's another pasuk earlier. It says, "Erbat bapin chavat chalut galay erbatan kirbat chahina." Don't have relations with your granddaughter, but doesn't mention anything about isha over there. So it means even out of wedlock, but it doesn't mention the daughter. Just mentions the granddaughter. But the two psukim are united by the word hena. So we assume that through the zera shav of hena hena, just like the earlier the pasuk I first quoted is a prohibition to mention with the daughter. So too, if it's out of wedlock, there's also a prohibition with the daughter. And then it mentions later on in Parshas Kedoshim, there's another pasuk says, "The ish shikachi shabi ma zima hi meishu shifu tobi yehen." If a person has relations with his wife and her mother, it's a zima. You get strefa, but it says zima. And the first pasuk I quoted also had zima. So I know through these two gzeir shavas that the daughter out of wedlock is included in the prohibition. And I know that it's a chiv strefa. Let's see back in the Gemara. And then we're going to wrap it up in 1 minute. So he says on the third line, the Amar Rava, Amar Li Rav Yisrael Bar Abimi, Acha Heina Heina, there's two psukim and achrimot, they each have the word Heina in it. Acha Zima Zima, and then there's another pasuk with Doshan Zima about burning. So through that limud, I know that there's a prohibition against having relations with your daughter out of wedlock, from an out of wedlock relationship, and it's a chiv strefa. So the Tana loves that drasha so much. That's why he teaches Bito first. So the Gemara said, you know what? All right, let me pause for a second. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on what I did so far? All right, let me do one more, two more lines. I'll be it. So the Gemara says, Hashda Amrit Pomil to the Akim Drasha Chavibalei. So now that you taught me, anytime there's a Drasha, the Tana loves it. So Litni Lacho Isha the Basov. So then you should teach the case of Achot Isha, the sister of your wife. You know, that's one of the Arayot that there's no mention of Yibum. That should be the last case because that's more Mefurash to the Pesukim. That should be the last one. So why does he mention that in the middle? So the Gemara says, I need the Iri be Isur Achvata Tana Achot Ishto. Since he's talking about the Isur with sisters, among the other things, he mentions Achot Ishto. So Lidni Lahai Baba Lubasof. So why doesn't he teach the whole thing about sisters at the end of it? Ella Tana Kurvi Kurvi Nafat. So this will pick up around here tomorrow. The Tana is a different Hezbollah. The Tana is teaching me in terms of, you know, closer relationships. The Tana is teaching me. First begins with the daughter, then he goes down like a granddaughter. That type of thing is where the Tana is working with it. Okay. I think I'm gonna call it. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything with it so far? Okay, let me end the recording 1 second. 1 second.